760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future. Now, It's Your Money, Not Theirs on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, good evening and welcome to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer. Tonight we have 50,000 watts of power coming at you, and we're reaching not just San Diego County, but Orange County, Los Angeles County, up the coast as far as Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now it's time to welcome my co-host and illustrious marathon runner and family office advisor to many high net worth operations and families, Richard Muzio, CPA. Richard, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Happy Mother's Day. Did you send something to your mother?
I certainly did. And yes, happy Mother's Day indeed. All of us would not be here tonight but for our wonderful mothers. And I know yours is listening tonight, right, Richard?
She's listening tonight. Yeah, she came over for dinner. I got some food to go from Milton's. My brother, who was in the bad auto accident 3 weeks ago, was back at him, so he picked her up and drove her over.
Is he doing better?
He's hanging in there, doing
good,
better.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, and I found out, didn't know this, but discovered that I was potty trained at the age of one. My mom informed me tonight, so.
Really?
That's too much information for our listeners.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm like, thanks, Mom.
Is that, the show's going to go right in the toilet, are you telling me?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, what'd you do, give me a little stare to climb up there? I mean, what?
Hey, I just want to mention real quickly, next Saturday at Lestat's West, the theater up there in Normal Heights and Adams Avenue, they're going to have a second screening of a little documentary that's been locally produced called Save KLSD about the former Progressive Talk station that used to be across town here. And as a matter of fact, our guest tonight appeared in the film, and we'll get to that in a second. But that's 2 o'clock, May 19th, at Lestat's West. If you want more information, it's SaveKLSD.com. So anyway, who's going to do the honors tonight, Richard? This is really a landmark show, isn't it?
Well, this is a landmark show because we've got a really special guest.
We most certainly do.
That would be?
Our first member of Congress.
First member of Congress on this show.
All right, let me do it for God's
sake. Go ahead.
Sakes.
What's his name, Joe?
Well, you're sitting in the seat of a former mayor in town, and in studio tonight we have most likely or very possibly our next mayor, and that is Congressman Bob Filner, Democrat from the 51st District. Welcome, Bob Filner.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
And Richard, you have a special guest too, don't you?
My daughter Demi is here with us tonight, and Demi is studying civil rights. She's a high school sophomore. She's only 15. She's one of the youngest sophomores at her high school.
Which is where?
Canyon Crest Academy, right, Demi?
Canyon Crest. Right.
And what kind of grades you getting?
All A's. Nothing but.
That's good. But Demi is studying the Freedom Riders, and of course, Congressman Filner was a Freedom Rider in the 1960s. So I wanted to start with a brief here's a brief history lesson for my daughter, Demi. Demi, take it away.
Sure. So the Freedom Riders were civil rights activists who rode on the interstate buses in the segregated parts of the southern United States. And this started in about 1961. And these people were really important because they defied the laws of the states in order to achieve equality for the people.
So do you have a question for?
I do.
Go ahead.
My question for you is, how did your experiences as a Freedom Rider influence your decision to become a public official?
Well, the experience during that summer of 1961 when I was only 18 years old really changed my life. Because I had been interested in the civil rights movement for some time. I was a sophomore at Cornell University in 1961, about to take my last final, and saw this incredible, iconic picture, what turned out to be an iconic picture of a Greyhound bus, firebomb, set on fire, everybody inside, pulled out and almost beaten to death. And it's because they were just trying to have a cup of coffee, black and white, at a bus station, or use the restrooms together, whatever. But when I saw that picture, I said, I've got to be there. And basically, I took the next bus. We ended up in Jackson, Mississippi.
Was there a bunch of other students went with you, or how many?
Well, there were various students that were recruited and added during the summer. There were about four or five with me when I went. And then each day, there were a few added. Ended up about 300, 350 people in jail at the time. And we were arrested, sentenced to 6 months in jail for citing a riot, breach of peace. Actually, we were lucky because a mob had surrounded the bus when we arrived in Jackson. Jackson, and the authorities there, unlike those in Alabama, decided we'd be safer if we were in jail and arrested. at least we wouldn't be subject to the violence. So I spent about 2 months in the state penitentiary in Mississippi. But when we got out and appealed our cases to the Supreme Court, the court not only overturned our convictions, but really eliminated the whole legal structure of segregation in those decisions. They said you cannot segregate public facilities in interstate commerce. And that really broke down everything. And I said, wow, you get together with other people. It was not the safest thing in the world. We had to sign our last wills before we got on the bus. But we changed American history. Mm-hmm. And I said, I came out of that with incredible optimism about change. We got lots of problems. We didn't make America perfect. Obviously, we still have racism and discrimination to deal with. But America can change if you get involved. If you think mm-hmm. you have the power, you can take it. And that led me to run for office, a school board here in San Diego, a city council, then Congress, and now mayor. But the ability to change our society by those of us who are really ordinary people, I think is really what motivates me, and I learned that sitting in jail for 2 months in Mississippi.
Which is why we have to learn our history, because if we don't know where we've been, we don't know how much progress we've made, and granted, you know, things are a lot better now than they were in the...
Well, it was interesting, Joe, that when Senator Obama then was running for president, and I was a super delegate to the convention because I was a congressman, it turned out that 50 years before I had been sitting in a bus station trying to get a cup of coffee, and then I became the delegate that put him over the top for the nomination. So I thought that was an incredible sort of bookmark for how far we had come in 50 years. We had come a long way, whereas Dr. King would say, we've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go.
True. But Richard, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the campaign, I'd like to start at the beginning. All right, so you went to Cornell, you graduated what year, and then you you got a PhD also in the history of science?
Well, I got a PhD from Cornell University in 1970 in what's called the history of science. I had been an engineering and science major, and then my last year in college, fell in love with history mm-hmm. and decided to put them together, become a historian of science. I applied for a few teaching jobs, and I ended up taking the one that was furthest away from where I was in New York and came out to San Diego, not knowing very much about San Diego at all. So 42 years ago, I came to San Diego to teach history.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you, there was no internet back then. What made you select San Diego? A friend, family member?
I knew very little about San Diego. I knew it was a sleepy town on the border is all I knew, but it was the furthest away and the sunniest from Ithaca, New York.
Wow, interesting.
I've been to Ithaca, you're right. The sun doesn't shine very often.
Complete diagonal across the country.
I had never been west of the Mississippi, and I took my family, my first daughter. We took a month to travel across the country, and we loved it and have loved San Diego ever since.
And what year was that?
That was 1970. And have been here ever since.
Wow.
That was a good year to get here. I got here in 69.
So 72, and then you taught at San Diego State.
I taught at San Diego State for 22 years, actually, although I was part-time sometime because I had got elected to the school board in 1979, elected to city council in 1987, re-elected in 1991. But I had been involved, like I learned from the Freedom Rides. I got involved with my kids' education. I was the president of the PTA. And one day, the principal informs me that the school is going to close next year. I said, why? And they said, well, the school board made a decision to do this. I said, what's the school board?
Yeah.
And it was a group of people who met, turned out 2:00 in the afternoon on Tuesdays, where nobody could ever go to meetings. Mm-hmm. But they didn't reckon with a professor who taught Monday, Wednesdays, or Fridays. So I show up at the school board just to ask a question. Why are you closing a school, which everybody loves?
Where was it?
Near San Diego State, Hardy Elementary School.
Oh, okay. Sure, Hardy. Yeah.
And they could not get, not only could they not give me a straight answer, but they were angry and rude at me. They said, why are you here? We made the decision a couple years ago. I said, well, I just learned about it. Tell me what's going on. Well, we know what's best for your kids. And I said, no, you don't. And I got so mad at them, I started going to meetings and learning about them. I had a better attendance record than they did, it turned out. Mm-hmm. And eventually put together a citywide coalition that said, this group of people were not transparent, were not open, did not care about the kids, and ran for the school board and began to really focus my attention on the education of our children.
And it was five members then, and it's five members
now? Five members. At first I was voted down 4-1, 4-1, 4-1. I was sort of a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. And then a new election took place, and I was elected president of school board. Even though I was only one of two Democrats, the whole board elected me because they knew I was the leader. I was the one who was getting things done. We brought on a new superintendent, a whole new administrative team, Dr. Tom Pazon, who I think was probably the best superintendent we've ever had in San Diego. And we were able to cut millions and millions of dollars out of the bureaucracy of the school system, devote resources to the classroom, and really took the view that every child could learn and every child was going to learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, compared to the progress then and the current state of the our education system, is there room for improvement now? Or
well, you know, we've had some ups and downs. Right now, it's a terrible situation with the funding. I mean, I think our priorities as a state have been really messed up. We used to be the first in terms of per capita funding as a state for our K-12 education. Mm-hmm. Now we're 48th or 49th, maybe less. That's a terrible thing for our own business, for culture, for our future.
Well, come back to that, Bob. We got to take a break. Boy, that really feels. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after these words.
Follow Roger Hedgecock tomorrow, 3 to 6.
We're not just talking anymore. No. We'll talk, because that's what I do, but we're also going to take action, and we're going to change things here. You want change, Barack Obama? You're going to get change. Back to the Constitution. Back to a free market economy. Back to individual responsibility, and not learned helplessness, and not entitlement mentality. No. Back to earning self-esteem. That's what this year is about.
Roger Hedgecock, tomorrow, 3 to 6. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
When it comes to dental procedures, there are always options. Take, for example, bone grafting. If you've been told you need this expensive work done, you should know about bone expansion, offered by Dr. Peter Helwig. This procedure works with your existing bone and expands it using a far less invasive technique. It also takes less time, there's less chance of failure, and it can be done for a fraction of the cost of bone grafting. You have options, and Dr. Peter Helwig can explain them all. He knows the latest and most effective procedures available and has been trained by and practiced with the top in his field. Join the hundreds of families in the San Diego area that trust Dr. Helwig with their smiles. He's been caring for them over 30 years. Call and schedule your free consultation to discuss your options today at 619-993-6505. You have a beautiful smile, and Dr. Peter Helwig has the latest procedures and treatments to help you keep it. Call 619-993-6505 and schedule your free consultation today.
Point Loma Electric is the only company to call for all of your electrical needs. Mike Slater has been singing their praises, reading testimonial after testimonial from satisfied KFMB listeners that have made the call. If your home was built before 1985, it's very likely that your old fixed wiring is running on overdrive with all of the updated electronics and appliances of today. Point Loma Electric is the older home specialist. Older homes require electricians to crawl under the house and through the attic. While other electricians often cut large holes in the wall to run new wires and circuits, Point Loma Electric has special tricks for running wires through older homes without chopping open the walls. Point Loma Electric can fix flickering lights, tripping circuit breakers, silent doorbells, and faulty switches. They'll protect your home from power surges and overloaded wiring and install beautiful lighting. Point Loma Electric is up for the challenge. Who are you going to call when the lights go out? Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672 or pointlomaelectric.com.
Attention all women with a muffin top. Research from the Mayo Clinic proves that people who carry fat in their midsection have a higher risk of health problems, such as heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and even cancer. If this is you, we have good news, because women who need to lose 30 pounds or more instantly qualify for a free trial of Sensa, a clinically proven way for women to lose weight all over. To experience the most dramatic weight loss results, you must be a female over the age of 25 and need to lose over 30 pounds. Call 1-800-440-4669 now and request your free 30-day trial. In a 6-month clinical study, one of the largest weight loss studies ever conducted, participants lost an average of 30 pounds using Sensa. And if you're a woman, now you can too. Call and instantly qualify for your free trial of Sensa. 1-800-440-4669. Strict limit of one free trial per household. 1-800-440-4669. That's 1-800-440-4669.
Follow Mike Slater tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And now Richard has to thank some sponsors. Over to you, Richard.
I want to thank UBS first and foremost. And then also Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited, the CPA firm of Polito Epic. That's Paul Polito and Don Epic CPAs. And our newest sponsor, Regents Bank. And by the way, their CEO, Dan Yates, is going to be our guest next week. And this gentleman is a banker's banker, if you know what I mean. You don't want to miss next week's show. So thank you all.
That'll be great. And that's a good segue into some other notable upcoming guests on May 27th. Mark your calendars. City Councilwoman Marty Emerald will be here. June 3rd, Assemblyman Nathan Fletcher, also running for mayor.
That's also my birthday, in case anybody wants to send gifts.
Okay. We'll alert the Assemblyman to bring you something, Richard.
I think that's against the law,
Joe.
It's
my money, not yours.
It's my money, not yours.
And then real quickly, on June 10th, Ann Myers Drysdale, notable woman athlete, but basketball was her game, wasn't it, Richard?
Basketball was her game.
Yeah.
Writing books is now her game.
Right. And then for the over 40 set, they're going to love these next three guests. Two for sure. Jerry Gross, former sportscaster here at KFMB, and did a lot of sports in San Diego. He'll be our guest June 17th. Dick Enberg, sports broadcasting legend, now doing the Padres games, but he's done every major sporting event on the planet. And then June 15th,
July 15th.
Excuse me, July, that's a typo. July 15th, noted USD law professor Frank Partnoy's appeared in every major film on the Wall Street debacle film, and he was just on the PBS two-part special, was an inside job, and won the Oscar, etc. He's brilliant, so... That's what's coming up ahead. But anyway, let's get back with our congressman here and ask some more questions.
So speaking of the Wall Street debacle, can we talk about pensions now?
Sure. Well, okay.
Proposition B. I know you, of all the candidates, are the one who does not favor B, and you've come up with your own mm-hmm. pension reform plan.
Well, let me segue, by the way, from the Wall Street debacle, because... much of the hostility, the support for Proposition B comes from hostility toward public employees as if they were the cause of the pension mess. The pension mess was fundamentally caused by the debacle on Wall Street. That is, when you lose half of your pension fund, the value of it, you're going to have a problem. And then you had a couple mayors who literally stole money from the pension fund for their own private kind of projects. And... The two together led us into the mess we're in, and we've had a trouble getting out of it. But taking it out on the public employees is not the way to go. And besides, over the last 5 or 6 years, and I have to hand it to Mayor Sanders, who helped to stabilize this system, the employees have given up a lot. They've had no pay raises for 5 or 6 years. They've increased their pension.
They don't get Social Security.
Right. The city has decreased its pension. They don't. They're not in the Social Security system. All the bells and whistles have been taken away. So we have to look at this in a different context.
And the average pension is $37,000.
Approximately. We hear a lot from Mr. DeMaio and the other candidates about the horror stories of those who have $200,000, $250,000 pensions. Well, that applies to a very small number, but they're all management employees. Mm-hmm. They get phony pay increases their last year in the job. They get bonuses, and all of a sudden, their pensions are twice as much mm-hmm. as their salary. That's wrong. And I'm the only one who says, put a cap on pensions. I could do that, really, the first day I'm mayor. No more six-figure pensions. These are management employees. They are not subject to any collective bargaining agreements. We could put a cap right now, and that would take away the horror stories
from those who are talking. You want a cap at $99,000, right?
$99,999.99. It's our money. It's the taxpayers' money. And to have a pension twice as much as a salary just doesn't wash. Although the average, trash collector and your 911 operator is getting, in the low 30s for their pension.
You know, we'll ask Assemblyman Fletcher about that, if he's willing to cap. I don't think any other candidates have said that.
Some of them have stolen my ideas and have done that. And I want to negotiate a five-year labor agreement, which will also bring down the debt. But here's the major problem that Proposition B doesn't even touch. Proposition B is a fraud. It does nothing about the current pension system and doesn't add a nickel to the general fund in the future until 15 or 20 years go by. We have a large debt caused by the fallen volume, and we have a large annual payment on that debt, which is approaching a third of our budget. You can't run a city when a third of your budget is going to your credit card. So what I want to do is take advantage of the lowest interest rates in our history, refinance our debt at, say, 2% or more lower interest rates with pension bonds. That will put into the general fund, without new taxes, $550 million over 10 years. I could start, or we could start as a city, filling potholes, keeping the libraries and rec centers open.
Infrastructure.
Hiring more police officers, keeping the fire stations open. I'm the only one who has a plan that actually puts money into the general fund, whereas Proposition B doesn't do anything. It just says, we're going to try to keep salaries low, but you can't do that in a referendum. That's subject to a collective bargaining agreement. And it costs money to set up a new system. You guys know this. If you set up a new pension system, it's going to cost $100 million, it's estimated, to go from the old to the new, but you haven't fixed anything in the old system.
And you said it might lead to some litigation as well, right?
No question. I mean, there'll be 10 years of litigation. I mean, it's not clear it's legal because, again, the employees do not have Social Security. It's unclear they can go be put on a 401k. Then Mr. DeMaio and others have said, well, we'll put them on Social Security. Well, it's not as easy as that. Mm-hmm. If you put some employees on, you may have to put all the employees on. If you put all the employees on, they may have to pay their back contributions over 10 or 20 years, and then the city will have to make up its back contributions, on and on. Mm-hmm. You're going to litigate this for 20 years. Meanwhile, what I want to do, we can do today. Mm-hmm. We could put a cap on pensions, we negotiate a long-term contract, and we refinance our debt, and we have solved 90-95% of the pension problem.
That is great, and we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after these announcements.
We lead the conversation. Follow along. San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
So what do you do when you have a small problem in your relationship? The best bet is to handle that issue before it turns into a real hassle. Same thing goes for handling termites. Termites are the stealth bugs of the insect world. Hi, I'm Sue Fries, owner of Ecola. Did you know Ecola is the leading ecological solution for termite problems? Right now, termites are looking for a home, your home. Chances are, they've already moved in. Give them a little rain, a little sun, and they'll start swarming and nesting, turning your home into their feast. Ecola will get rid of them quickly and conveniently with the Ecola Green Advantage. Call us today for a free estimate at 877-332-BUGS. Smart choices, simple solutions, problem solved, mother approved. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about the Ecola Green Advantage warranty. 877-332-BUGS.
This year we will face huge decisions with the upcoming elections. But when it comes to your vehicle repairs, there is no research or huge decision that needs to be made. Rapid Transmissions has been providing world-class customer service for over 41 years. Is your check engine light on? Is your vehicle slipping around town? Stop by any of Rapid's locations in San Diego, Escondido, or La Mesa, and they will diagnose your vehicle absolutely free. If they do find a problem, they will disassemble your transmission in their state-of-the-art facilities and show you exactly which parts need replacing. Today's transmissions have over 2,000 parts. Rapid does not want you paying for parts you don't need. Have you recently received an estimate from another automotive repair shop? Bring it by Rapid and see what they can save you. Backed by popular demand, Rapid is now offering a complete transmission service for only $69.95 on most vehicles through May 31st. Call now, 800-562-7675, 800-562-7675, or rapidtransmissions.com.
If your home's air conditioning system hasn't been serviced recently, you could be paying higher electricity costs every time you turn it on. Even worse, you could be on the verge of expensive, unexpected repairs or replacement costs that could add up to thousands. But thanks to American Home Shield, you can now discover how to avoid devastating air conditioning repair bills. Information that's absolutely free. That's right, American American Home Shield is releasing to the public, free of charge, valuable information that could help you avoid costly home system and appliance repair and or replacement bills. Just call 1-800-700-0026. Find out how smart homeowners all across the country are protecting themselves and their wallets thanks to American Home Shield's preventative maintenance plan. Discover how we can help you maintain the efficiency of your air conditioning system, help extend its life, and minimize future costly repairs. Learn how to avoid devastating air conditioning repair bills absolutely free by calling 1-800-700-0026. That's 1-800-700-0026.
Hello, classic TV fans. I'm Larry Himmel with my good friend Cookie Chainsaw Randolph with this amazing television offer for KFMB's MeTV. Tell them what they're going to get, Cookie.
You get Gomer Pyle, Beverly Hillbillies, Bonanza, The Big Valley,
BoJack, Rockford Files, MASH. And how much would you pay for
not
this
a dime, Larry Himmel, because MeTV is free.
And you can watch MeTV over the air at KFMB 8.2.
Free.
Time Warner 132.
Free.
Or Cox 808.
Free.
No one's perfect. We all have our internal struggles. It may be alcohol, drugs, or any type of addiction. Only you know if you have a problem. With Treatment Doctor, you have somewhere to turn. Make the call now and get the help you need fast and in private. It only takes one phone call to start getting your life back on track. And it's free. Don't let alcohol, drugs, or any addiction rule your life. Call now.
Call 800-416-4560. That's 800-416-4560. 800-416-4560.
We lead the conversation. Follow us, 760 KFMB.
Another number is retired. I'm 760's Rick Williams. Here are the stories that we're following. Well, Junior Seau's number 55 jersey is going to be formally retired during a halftime ceremony. That will happen during the Chargers' regular season home opener against the Tennessee Titans on September 16th. Clyde Thompson, the president of the local chapter of the Black Sabbath Motorcycle Club, was gunned down while working on a bike near the group's Market Street clubhouse. Chris Jimenez of the Wolfpack Motorcycle Club told News 8 that Black Sabbath is not your typical biker gang.
The YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, so I mean, they're all good guys.
Now, the suspect is only described as a young black man wearing a hoodie and driving an SUV. And the price of gas rose 3 cents today in the county, and it's selling for $4.33 per gallon on average. Well, beat high gas prices. Carpool, vanpool, or use transit for a stress-free commute that saves fuel, time, and money. Visit 511SD.com for tips and special incentives. In weather, it's cloudy and 63 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, the Padres lost to the Phillies today in Philadelphia 3-2. Follow Roger Hedgecock after Sean Hannity on 760 KFMB.
Three executives at J.P. Morgan Chase are losing their jobs over that $2 billion trading loss. CEO Jamie Dimon calls the loss an egregious mistake. Lying on his resume about a college degree cost Yahoo CEO Scott Thompson his job. An interim leader has been named. Facebook will start selling stock at the end of this week. Tim Stevens with the tech website Engadget says the stock sale should be huge.
Facebook is still enormous. It's still the most popular social network here in the United States, and it's still showing growth. And with the company looking to make things even bigger on the mobile applications front, I think that there's still a lot of room for growth, and so I think investors will be definitely wanting to get on board.
The IPO could value Facebook at nearly $100 billion, worth more than Disney, Ford, and Kraft Foods. Nearly 50 bodies discovered on a highway leading from Monterrey, Mexico to the U.S. border. Some had been dismembered, making identification difficult. The Zetas drug cartel claims responsibility. Brad Wheeler, ABC News.
The liberal culture is failing America.
Follow Roger Hedgecock tomorrow, 3 to 6. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Wow, that's a dramatic opening for the last half of the show. Welcome back to It's Your Money, Not Theirs with Richard Muscio and Congressman Bob Filner talking about politics and running for the mayor of San Diego. Bob, I had a question about Congress. You were a professor 20 years, served in Congress 20 years. How has Congress changed from the time you started to the way you see it now?
I think the Congress is, I'll tell you a little secret. It's dysfunctional at this moment. I think you may have heard
that's a secret. The worst kept secret.
And
it's based on the fact, not that the people are not good or not they're interested in doing something, but the parties have become so polarized. Yeah. And because the districts that we run in are gerrymandered, so everybody has a safe seat, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you have a safe seat, you don't need to talk to the other side. That's, I think that's the root of the evil, that everybody is appealing to their own base, and if they don't do it properly, they get primaried, as they say, from more extreme people. Yeah. So it's become less of an institution where there is debate, where there is argument, where there is compromise, and that's bad for America.
And we've got rid of a lot of the moderates are gone. I know, especially in the Senate. Yeah, so it's black and white now.
So it's become very, very, very difficult to do anything. I thought that instead of being one member of Congress of 435 members, although I have very high seniority, that as the chief executive of the eighth biggest city, I could do more for San Diegans, whether we're talking about jobs or the environment or education, health. I could do more here in San Diego than I could do in Washington.
And you're not looking to become senator or governor, right?
No, I'm a little older than the other guys. I mean, they may be trying to move up, but I got to settle down here in my hometown.
Do you believe in term limits in Congress? What do you
opinion? No, I don't. I think term limits have been bad. We all have term limits. I'm elected now for 2 years at a time, and the voters can throw me out any time. But when you have an arbitrary limit like you do with the state legislature, what happens is that the lobbyists on one hand and the bureaucrats on the other hand, who have longevity, take over. That is, they have the institutional memory, they have the long-serving jobs, and the elected officials who are supposed to be the accountable ones come and go, and nobody pays much attention to them. So I think it's been bad for California that we don't have people who have a long memory and a long term of service. And we're all accountable. We all have to run for election every 2, 4, or 6 years. And I think that kept us, that keeps you accountable.
Yeah.
So, Bob, I saw where the League of Conservation, you were endorsed, I guess because of your stellar record on the environment. Mm-hmm. And given your background as a professor, and in particular a professor of science history, can you talk briefly about some of the environmental issues that are facing San Diego?
You know, clearly the same issues face us, you know, as face the nation, whether we're talking about sustainable energy policy, whether we're talking about
water
and reuse of water, whether we're talking about a walkable, bikeable, livable cities. The issues are the same, and in that, and I'm the only one that really has the experience in dealing with them. When it comes to, for example, energy, I'm the one who says, let us solar power all our public buildings within 5 years. Can you imagine the demand that would create on the for the private sector to fill, to put up solar panels, to put in photovoltaic cells? Businesses expand, new ones are created, manufacture might come to San Diego. The government, which is only all of us doing together what we can't do separately, can really set a tone. We all have an obligation, and whether it's energy or water, to conserve, and yet we have to also be rewarded for that conservation with lower rates. And the people in charge have found ways to keep rates high even though we conserve. And people get really upset with that. So I would like to say there's going to be rewards for our energy savings. We're going to save money. SDG&E better cooperate. You know, the water rates go up. You know why? Not because we're not conserving, but because the Los Angeles Metropolitan Water District has a stranglehold over the charges that they bill us for just transportation of the water.
It's essentially a monopoly on transportation.
And we have to go around them. We have to conserve more, we have to recycle our water, and we have to find new sources. I mean, desal, for example. The cost of that is almost near the cost of imported water. And if we can do it environmentally correct, we have an inexhaustible source of ocean water that we could be using. So let's conserve, let's reuse, but let's also find new sources.
And I noticed there's actually some construction going on in San Diego, new homes. Why isn't solar, for example, mandated with new construction? I know people hate the word mandate because it means more government.
We have to do that, whether it's, you know, again, there should be policies for energy conservation. There are policies in some cities for what we call, purple pipes, that is, reuse of the water. But not only can government set an example with their buildings and resources, but there have to be policies in place for the new construction, too. We simply cannot go on. And, you know, I got news for half of the Congress that doesn't believe it. There is climate change going on. And San Diego's going to be impacted on it earlier than others. And if we want to save our beaches, I like to say, we got to get our head out of the sand. Because, and San Diego should be setting an example in all this. We all have a responsibility to saving our planet. And we can do it locally as well as nationally.
And I mentioned at the break, you know, again, UCSD is setting a great example and is the petri dish for this clean energy, because they produce at least 85% of their own energy, and I believe it's up into the about 94% in off hours. They have they've got the largest fuel cell made by Fuel Cell Inc., I believe, on their campus. But go take a tour of that campus. That is, I commend it to our listeners. It's amazing what they're doing. They are producing a lot of their own energy with cogeneration and natural gas, etc.
And then how about public transportation in San Diego?
Well, me, how about that?
I mean, how about? I mean,
I haven't seen that much lately.
What public transportation?
No, look, if we're going to, again, not only save from carbon emissions and save money from our own budget on gasoline and get off a resource that is dwindling in our planet, we have got to move more toward public transit. We have simply not made the commitment, and I will as mayor. I'll just give you one example. Rich and Joe, SANDAG, which is our Regional Transportation Authority, was the first regional body in the state to adopt, by state law, a 40 or 50 year plan that was supposed to show how we become a sustainable, energy efficient county. And it was supposed to be the model. Unfortunately, it became the nightmare or the poster child for how not to do it, because they put off all public transit for about 20 years and only are fixing and doing highways. Now, yeah, we have to have highway modernization and fixing and use it for carpooling. But we have got to put a commitment. And I told SANDAG, you know, when I'm mayor, we're going to change that, because we have to see a commitment here. And it's mainly leadership. It's not necessarily large sums of money. We can get help from the federal government on some of this stuff, but you have to have, say, bus routes that are not only reliable and efficient, but frequent and fast. And you have to change policies and have a type of bus service that can do that. They are in other cities around the country and around the world. We don't have to reinvent a lot of this stuff. It's there. It takes leadership and a vision to do it.
Even these little half-size buses, you don't need the full-on bus, but why not have them shuttling from downtown to Balboa Park, from Kensington into Balboa? Everyone's worried about the parking. If we just had better and more regular and more frequent transportation into Balboa Park and out of it, I think that would solve a lot of the problems.
There's a lot of these creative ideas, Joe, and they're relatively low tech. But you know why we don't have it? It's not an accident that we don't have public transportation or that we put all our money into highways. A few people who are making money off of that really govern City Hall, and they've done it for the last 50 years. And I like to say I'm the oldest candidate and the youngest candidate. I'm oldest in terms of my experience. Nobody can match that. But I'm youngest in terms of the fact that I'm going to break the stranglehold that special interests have on City Hall and embark upon these ideas that really get to the that will break the economic and political power of a really small group. They have not served the people. They have not served the neighborhoods. They have put money into downtown special interests, hundreds of millions a year, rather than fixing neighborhoods and infrastructure and putting in ball fields and rec centers in our neighborhoods. We have to shift the power away from downtown special interests into neighborhoods, their infrastructure, and our quality of life, because we have suffered as a result of a real stranglehold that certain groups have on City Hall.
Now, the CCDC, what's the current state now? Is that money accessible?
Hope so. CCDC, the Center City Development Corporation, I would have abolished even if the governor and the courts hadn't, because it's time to set up a neighborhood investment corporation, not just a downtown. They're going to try to keep all their tax money, several hundred million a year. I'm going to try to free up as much of that to go into neighborhood infrastructure. But here's the way City Hall has been working. This last week, this is what happened. We want to have an expanded convention center, and I agree with that. It creates jobs, but the way they're going to finance, they asked the hotel owners in this city, the Hiltons, the Marriotts, they're not even from San Diego, they're from multinational corporations. They said, We want you to vote on whether there shall be an increase in the transient occupancy tax, the tourist tax. It's not on residents, it's on tourists. But it's still a public tax. How do these guys get to vote on it? And not only do they get to vote on it, which they did, they approved it.
That's never been the case before.
Never. But they control the $35 million a year that tax will bring. They're going to control. That should go into the general fund. That should help with infrastructure in our neighborhoods. But no, a small group of people is going to take control of that money for their own purposes. And that's the way this city has been run for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. How about the Port Commission and the relationship with the city? Has that been a friction or a cooperative or a little of both?
Well, there has to be, I think, much closer cooperation. The Port Commission is set up under state law to govern our tidelands, and there's representatives from five cities who border the bay. San Diego gets three appointments. But what we have to do with the port, and I'm going to take the lead on this with the appointments that we make to the Port Commission, it is the single biggest source of middle-class jobs that we have not exploited in this city. When we lost much of the defense industry in the 90s, we never replaced those livable wage jobs for skilled working people where people could buy a house and their kids to college. And yet we are not a maritime center. Nobody could pretend that we're like San Francisco or Seattle or L.A. or New York or even Long Beach. There are very few ships coming in and going out. We can create thousands of jobs, but it's not a lot of money because the people who will be coming in here, the shippers, build the infrastructure. But we have to have a policy and a vision which promotes that.
Yeah, well, let's hold that thought. You'll be the international ambassador on that, Bob, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Glenn Beck, tomorrow, 9 to noon.
We're not for austerity. We're not for the European solution. We are for low taxes, low spending. That's what we're for. And that is radically different than what they're trying over in Europe. As a Tea Party, as 9-12, as Americans who understand this, if we don't stand together this summer, if we're not active at the polls, if we are not a major force, we lose.
Glenn Beck, tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Slider Crusaders, you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows. If you're in the market for replacement windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. Duncan, what is the Newman advantage?
We started this about 19 years ago, and I firmly felt that there was no service left in the construction industry. So my wife and I decided that we would start a company that would treat people like it was the 1950s again. My salespeople are told that when they walk up the driveway to a customer's house, if the newspaper's on the driveway, pick it up and hand it to the customer when you get to the front door as you're saying hello.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms. We have a new 10,000-square-foot showroom on Morena Boulevard at 1176 Morena Boulevard.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give him a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
Hi, this is Jennifer Brown, president of Marvin K. Brown Cadillac. I think we can all agree that this NBA playoff season has already been incredibly exciting, not to mention a few risky moves made by some key players.
At Marvin K. Brown Cadillac, the leading Cadillac dealership in San Diego for over 60 years, we believe risk should be removed from the equation. Hi, Dave Grunstrom, CEO of Marvin K. Brown. When it comes to shooting for the best deals on Cadillacs, Marvin K. Brown's the best in the league because we're offering some of the most competitive deals in the industry.
This month, you'll score with some amazing cash incentives like up to $3,000 on the 2011 CTS-V Coupe or the available 0.9 APR financing on all 2012 Cadillac models in stock on approved Ally credit through May 31st. And remember, Cadillac earned recent accolades from Kelley Blue Book as the best interior and best exterior design brand in luxury vehicles.
So don't risk buying your Cadillac from anywhere else. Call MKB today at 800-640-0204. That's 800-640-0204. MKB in the heart of Mission Valley or online at mkb.com.
One little joint supplement. You know this powerful little pill is great for your joints? It's great for your cartilage. It even has powerful benefits to help increase your mobility and flexibility. But the joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately. Until now. Introducing the complimentary two-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. The only thing our complimentary sample of Instaflex is missing is the price. Because right now, we're offering adults a complimentary two-week sample as part of a nationwide giveaway. Call and claim your sample today. 1-800-500-1605. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Fast-acting Instaflex can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. Instaflex is available at GNC and Rite Aid, but you can only get your complimentary two-week sample by calling 1-800-500-1605. Call now for your two-week Instaflex sample. 1-800-500-1605.
Follow Glenn Beck. Tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
With, I guess, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, I'm good. I can't speak for everyone. I don't know who the other two are. We're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs with Congressman Bob Filner, Richard Musio. And Richard, you have to thank a sponsor or two, don't you?
We want to thank our major sponsor, UBS, again, for helping us to make this all possible. So Michael Coranta, Drew Freitas, thank you. Thank you. Very much appreciate all your assistance.
Absolutely.
So, Bob Filner, I noticed, because I've been reading the newspaper about you since we knew you were going to be on this show, you recently received the Fleet Reserve Association National Pinnacle Award for the work you've done on behalf of all of our water-based veterans. That would be the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. And so thanks for all that work, but I also want to mention that in the context of a question. You know, I come from a military family, and it's really sad to me to see some of these young men and women coming home, and they're basically not even supported by their communities or society anymore. What is San Diego going to do to make it a better world for their veterans who've served our country so nobly?
Well, it's really important issue. I'm glad you raised it. I had the honor of serving as the chairman of the Veterans Committee in the Congress for 4 years, and probably did more in those 4 years than other people have done in decades in the same position. We literally put in billions, tens of billions of dollars into the mental health resources for our nation's veterans. I announced with President Obama and Secretary of the VA, Rick Shinseki, what we called a zero tolerance plan for veterans homeless that we put in place about a year and a half ago, and it's completely funded a plan to get all veterans off the street by the year 2018. If that works, which I have no doubt it will, then mayors such as me will have about half the problem that we have now to deal with, and we must deal with it. I also, by the way, in honor of my own father, who came back from World War II without any education, was able to use the GI Bill to go to college and, more importantly, buy a house for, you know, $1,000 down. All of a sudden, I live from somebody who lived in apartments with my relatives. I'm living in a nice neighborhood, go to a good school, I go to a good college, I go to Congress. And the GI Bill did that for 8 million veterans' families of World War II, made our post-war prosperity. But those benefits had gone down over the years. And I wrote a GI Bill for the 21st century that funds the full cost of college, allows young families to buy a home. You know, there are 700,000 young veterans in college today because of that bill. So I'm pretty proud of that. But here we live in a military town, and yet we have thousands of homeless on the street. Half of them almost are veterans. We have to do better, just as human beings, but we cannot say that we can fund a war, but we can't help you when you get home. And it's our moral and our legal obligation, really, to serve. I think we have to confront this directly. I subscribe to a theory that is known in the in circles as housing first. That is, get people off the streets, off the violence, the insecurity, the mental health problems that result of that. Get them into permanent housing. The alcohol and drug counseling that has to be done, the job counseling, the health issues, people will handle at their own speed. But we got to get them off the streets. And there have been many opportunities to do that. There was a hospital, Cabrillo Hospital on Point Loma, which moved into a new building. It had leased the previous building. The owner wanted to offer it to the Veterans Administration. We could house 300 or 400 veterans in there, private rooms, in an area that's not, you know, a real residential neighborhood. And yet the bureaucracies were such that nobody could make a decision. There's a motel downtown, similar, about the Holiday Inn can house 300 or 400 people in private rooms at a cost that, between the federal government and the city, we can't afford. We should be doing that, and we should make dramatic moves, because there are so many groups, by the way, Richard.
Veterans Village is a pretty good
one. I mean, Veterans Village is a great example. Mm-hmm. There are so many nonprofits that are working to help the veterans. They get hobbled by the bureaucracies in the government level, and we got to bring them in and help and be welcoming to them, because, as you said, they have served our nation, they put their lives on the line, they've done everything, and yet they're out in the street trying to survive, and that's wrong.
Well, let's put in a plug for Judge Robert C. Coates, who's a good friend of yours, I know, and I think he'll be key in helping on this issue if you're elected.
Yep,
and then the next step is, once you've given them some shelter, we got to find something for them to do.
Because, well, you know, I want to work. I'm going to put the first jobs, the veteran jobs office in the mayor's office. But look, we live in a military town. We still have a defense industry, but we have large and small businesses that should make it a priority. Without, they don't need laws. They don't need mandates. They have to make a commitment to hiring veterans. And I will get them all downtown into the city hall, and we will make a commitment to say, the best healer for those who do have mental or even physical illness, the best healer is a job. Mm-hmm. And everybody in San Diego should be working to say thank you to these veterans. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of jobs, you mentioned you had this concept of putting a big outdoor market type place, a Pike's Place type facility. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that sounds exciting.
You know, I have visited virtually all the urban gardens, and all the farmers markets, and the organic farms that exist around San Diego on the outskirts. We need to do more to have locally grown organic foods available to our citizens, to our school kids, to our tourists, to our restaurants. Mm-hmm. The economics of this means you have to have a central food market to do that. We got to find a place, whether it's downtown or on the waterfront or maybe where Qualcomm Stadium is, to say that the organic farms around San Diego can have a place to sell, where restaurants can buy. We can get the basic economics of it by having the school district purchase nutritious foods for school lunches. Kids can come and see how hydroponic farming is done. I mean, it should be an incredible place for our city that we just do not have at the present time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly, forward thinking, and I think that's the way to go. Any final thoughts, Richard? We have about 1 minute.
Quickly, how about housing in San Diego?
Well, clearly, as you know, we build a tourist industry, which we're proud of, and yet we're paying wages in that industry where people can't afford to own homes.
Yeah.
Affordable housing is possible if we look at it properly. You can develop housing along what we call transit corridors if we have the public transit we talked about earlier.
Okay, but Bob, excuse me, we have to wrap it right there. So
we got to write our community plans.
Right, 30 seconds.
Anyway, all right, listen, happy Mother's Day,
very
Richard.
Much appreciate you coming in tonight. Great.
Yes, Demi.
Just great information. Demi, say goodbye to everybody.
Bye, happy Mother's Day.
Yay. Thank you, Scott Love. Thank you, Craig Blanke. Thank you, Dave Sniff. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
I believe I can do anything. So when it came to learning a new language, I knew I had to do it the way I learn. No books, no memorizing or translating. I wanted to learn the same way I learned my first language, naturally. That's why I chose Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. To participate in this free nationwide event, just call 1-800-644-1129.
Si yo puedo hacerlo, usted puede hacerlo. If I can do it, you can do it.
To participate in this free nationwide event, call now for your free demo from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-644-1129. That's 1-800-644-1129.
Story.
Same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Then we leave the conversation.
Why is the president doing this?
What's the upside here?
Follow the leader. 760 K.